Hello, listeners. This is Eating Mosquitoes. I am Sammy Delali. Growing up, I lived in a compound house where right across the street was a whorehouse. As a child, I didn't know what this meant. However, it was clear the woman in the house in which I lived looked down on the woman in this whorehouse. They wouldn't talk to them or go anywhere close to them, at the market or at the public tap. They tagged them as Shao. I had the opportunity to be friends with the kids of these tagged women and visited their homes to play. The kids were somewhat conscious of their mom's work. They would see countless men come in and go out of their rooms. Sometimes they were asked to leave, other times it happened right in front of them. One of the kids once told me, "I have several fathers. You have only one. Who is the champion?" I thought he was the champion. There was no reason to think otherwise, but I have always wondered to myself, why do women do it? Because it seems like a hard job. Prostitution, they say, is the oldest profession in the world. There are varied opinions and perceptions about what prostitution is and what it is not, how the women got in there and why they do what they do. Why prostitution continues to survive countless civilizations and in some cases even gets more refined. And the big question, how essential is prostitution to society? I had a conversation with a friend who has some interesting views on the subject and has been learning about it for quite a while now. Yeah, hello, Jude.
Yes.
Nice to have you. So,
yeah.
Could we start by you telling us your name, what you do, and then your interests?
My name is Jude Edge. I am a rehabilitation specialist or professional. My interests are various, very various and very, very many or vast. So I cannot really go into much detail about my interests, but let's just say generally into the arts and the sciences.
Fair enough. So to, you know, getting right into today's subject, okay?
Yes.
You know, you already know we're talking about prostitution.
Yes.
Trying to dive a little into this subject. One of the things we all do understand is that prostitution has their varied opinions to what it is. And we would like to take some time to digest that. And first of all, since we are looking at prostitution mostly in our local context, we see more females getting into prostitution. So sort of taking the female look at what this group, usually that stands for the female, the feminist, think about what prostitution is. So I have something here that says that feminists argue that in most cases, prostitution is not a conscious and calculated. Yeah. They say that most women become prostitutes do so because we're forced or coerced by a pimp or by human trafficking, or when it is an independent decision, it is generally the result of extreme poverty and lack of opportunity or of serious underlying problems, such as drug addiction, past trauma, being child sexual abuse case, or other instances. So from the point of view of the feminist, they don't believe women actually choose to become prostitutes. What are your views about this?
In today's world, we are seeing more of people choosing that kind of work, because you go on apps like Tinder and you see ladies there who are asking for money for sex, and they are not indigent, they are not extremely poor, and they are making their own conscious decisions. You ask them questions, they get angry, and then they block you. So I cannot very much say that those types of people are forced into the occupation. There's no way you can say that. So I would dismiss on that count.
Do you also think that prostitution was born out of male dominance? The idea that it's a man's world and women are basically material
slaves to men. That idea itself is a man's world and all of that. Well, we all were never there. We were not there when our ancestors, our predecessors were alive. We don't know what exactly transpired. What we have so far is what we call known history, written history, recorded history. Yes. Oral history, we don't really get much of that, apart from maybe some of the proverbs where they say prostitution is the oldest profession in the world. But that one, we cannot even date it. Perhaps it was just something that came up within record. We talk about unrecorded history. We were not there. So we can never really tell that prostitution was present at that time. So, that male dominance was present at that time. So that argument is a man's world. It may just be a creature of the recent past. And then the other case is this whole argument of it's a man's world. Coming to think about it, when any man goes back into his own life, he notices that mostly it's the women who like to give the dominance to the men. If you go in your own life, you will notice it, because it's always like the woman is looking to you as some kind of hero.
Yeah.
He's looking to you as some kind of deity, somebody who can just charm things out of the sky, or somebody who is capable of all sorts of wonders. But you are just a human being who can forget, a human being who has weaknesses, a human being who has shortcomings, a human being who can miscalculate, a human being who can fall, a human being who can trip. These are all shortcomings that all human beings are capable of. But you create this image of some kind of paragon of excellence.
Yeah. So that's
what a man is. Pardon?
So there are these stereotypical gender roles that have been set.
So these stereotypical gender roles, and these are also feeding into our collective worldview. So our worldview, while we are all looking at trees, we are all looking at the ground, we are all looking at the sky, we are all breathing in the air. All these things are going on around us, but then it looks like the worldview is different from the world that we are actually viewing. You get what I mean? It's a pun, but I am sure you get the relation between the worldview and then the world that we are collectively viewing. Yeah. There's a big difference.
Definitely. So it's more of like the perceptions, right? We all have different perceptions of the world.
Different perceptions. Yeah. But it's funny. How can you have perceptions that do not cohere, that are not consistent with what you are actually perceiving? Yes. It's not, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. In another world, one would argue that such a situation is insanity, because it's only schizophrenics who accept one thing, meanwhile what is there in front of them is another thing.
Yeah, and isn't this because we, our worldviews are shaped by different beliefs and, our upbringing, our nurturing, all these shaped worldviews and sort of, gives us a lens on what is and what is not, and defines.
Yeah, you have that's true, because there's a concept. I think it was Robert Anton Wilson that talked about that reality tunnels. Everybody has a reality tunnel. They see the world in a particular way, so they are not really seeing reality. It's a tunnel vision that they are having of reality. It's their own kind of their own representation of reality. It's not the reality that is there for everybody.
So
yeah, you can say that upbringing and all those things influence that kind of reality.
Yeah,
just
based on reality again, right? And stretching that back into the conversation of on the topic prostitution. Why do you think prostitution has persisted throughout these ages? Because just a little bit about it. It goes way back, as you might have mentioned, to written history. Why do you think it has persisted through all these civilizations and is still present in our lives today?
I would prefer that this kind of question would be left for historians, because this kind of question you can never answer it. Well, unless you have the data itself, you can make postulations as much as you want, but you will never really get at it.
You think it's a basic human need? And you think because it's a basic human need?
Well, if you bring that in, well, I have a certain speculation that if sex lost its value in society, its social value, which is what gives it its economic value, you understand? Mm-hmm. Things like prostitution would also lose value. You understand? Without that element of value, then a particular item can no longer be a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Can no longer be a commercial entity.
Mm-hmm.
That way, it is no longer economic. So if sex loses its value, prostitution would be gone. But with the way society treats sex, it's like it becomes something very precious. You understand? Yes, it becomes... As sex has such a high value in society, then it also has an attendant high economic value. And if it has that high economic value, then it can be traded. Anybody who is smart enough to notice that it is of such value knows that he can trade it. He or she can trade it. In this case, if we are talking about females, so she can trade it for a lot of money. You understand? She can trade it for a lot of money. So she's going to get into prostitution as a very quick, easy way of getting money, because she doesn't need to learn any new skills. She doesn't need to go to any school. It's just about providing herself for, let's say, a man to have his way with her. You understand? So that's about it. And then also, because of its high value already, then you have this issue of perks around it to change the experience, to give it a different kind of value. So you have people giving you sex with chocolate, sex in a pool, sex at the sex in the in public, all kinds of different kinds of sex, you know,
sexual experiences.
Yes, they so they are selling to you different kinds of experiences. It's all sex, but just different kinds of experiences. They are just some perks that have been put on the sex, like a diamond ring with sapphires and emeralds and other things studded around. So it's just certain things to amplify its value.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things to amplify its value. So that is all about the socioeconomic value of sex and how it leads to prostitution.
We've sort of established a point that the socioeconomic value of sex fuels its persistence. Would we say this is one of the main reasons prostitution still exists?
Well, I wouldn't say main, but okay. Well, it's quite important in the scale of things, because the whole thing is that it's primarily a commercial enterprise. It's primarily a commercial transaction. You understand? It's primarily a business transaction when you talk about prostitution. So if it's primarily a business transaction, then you must be looking mostly at economic reasons for why it exists before you look at any other that it is. So we should say that it's more prior, it's more it comes first in the order of things when you are thinking about the topic, reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it comes first before any other religious, health, perhaps trauma or anything like that.
Yeah,
you should think about the economic first before any other thing joins on.
Because of the commercialization, because
commercializing sex. Because sex itself is already commercialized. By its very nature in society, already commercialized. You understand?
Why do you point to this?
Yes, you see, mostly when we say commerce, we are thinking about the exchange of money.
Trading.
So, you know that there are different kinds of trade. You have a money economy, and then you have barter trade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this particular context, we are not talking about barter, we are not talking about money. We are talking about value. Wherever value is created, there will be a sort of economic relationship. You understand?
Yeah. The exchange of one thing of value for another thing of value.
So before you even get there, we have created value. So sex has been created, or value has been created about sex or of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Sex has become an object of value. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's not yet been traded. It's just something of value. So when, let's say, and in this case, it's not even typically sex in itself. It's more of a woman's sex. You get it. So it becomes such that it's when a man sees it, it's something to be prized, something that has to be, sacrificed for.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's not something that is willingly given. It's something that you have to fight for,
mm-hmm.
as if you have to earn it. I think that's a good way to put it. You have to earn it, as if it's some kind of prize, it's some kind of achievement.
Yeah,
it's some kind of achievement, something of value. You understand what I mean by value now?
Yes.
Like when you go to work, you put in your effort, and then at the end of the day, you are giving your commission. At the end of the day, you are giving your salary. At the end of the day, you are giving whatever agreed price you and your client had at the beginning, or you negotiated. You understand? So this is the value that I'm talking about. It's quite abstract, but now when you bring it into a context of barter trade, you understand that right now when the lady offers her sex, now a man has to offer something in return. So he can offer a house, he can offer a car, but there has to be some kind of exchange. It is not like for like. It's not like she's giving her sex for the man to join in. It's not like a conversation. This one is being given for something else. You get it?
Yeah, which makes it very interesting.
Yes, it's being given for something else, something of equal value. Yes, something that can replace the value of what has been given away. I'm even reminded of something that happened, an incident this evening when I was taking my dinner. There was a woman talking to an older woman talking to a young lady, and she was telling her about how she needs to get married before she engages in any sexual relations with any man. So these are the ways in which female sexuality is commodified. So if feminists are saying that it is male dominance that is causing it, we also have to ask the question that, is it not females who are giving the males that dominance? Or is it not they who are making it appear that way? Because in this case, the woman is making it seem like a woman must protect herself. A woman has no other way except to keep this sexuality of hers to her chest, protect it with all her life, as if it's going to be taken away from her and there's nothing she can do about it. Whatever effects, whatever ramifications that can come from using the sexuality, there's no way that she can reduce the cost of whatever happens, maybe pregnancy or STDs or stigma. There's no way that she can find a way to reduce the cost of these consequences. She has to keep it
seems like
so tightly to her chest.
That's something that she must offer to someone else to enjoy.
Aha. So, as I was saying, as you said, she needs to have somebody sort of to give it to her. She cannot enjoy it by herself. It's not something that she can enter into by her own will. You get it? It's not something that she can enjoy herself and needs to get into. And whatever costs that can come out of it, she will have to manage for herself. So it becomes something that is sort of removed from the whole personality of what the female is. Mm. There's female, then there's a female sexuality.
So female sexuality.
Yes, so femaleness has nothing to do with female sexuality. It's a whole domain on its own. You understand?
Yeah.
So if it happens like that, surely you are going to complain that you are being dominated by males.
Wow.
I don't know if it's clear.
Yeah, it's clear. This has been a wonderful conversation. We definitely need to make another time to. I think there is so much to explore with the subject, and we have to take our time to really explore all the different aspects of it. Any last?
Well, You said?
Any final words?
Well, I think this topic right now is having a lot of attention in the world, throughout the world right now. It's having its own moments. It's part of the whole gender debate that is going on right now. Last year, we saw a lot of big men fall because of their perceived and real offenses against the opposite sex. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you are, and this year it has continued. All over the internet, you find people arguing about why females behave the way they do, why males behave the way they do, why is it that the male relationship between males and females is always fraught with so much tension, conflict currently.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that debate is something that we all need to have in this world, because it's such, how would I put it, a fundamental part of what makes our species what it is. Because without the man and the woman, as far as we know, without the man and the woman to copulate to the next generation, then we will all die out. Humanity is doomed. I hope you get my point.
Yes, yes.
Yes, no matter how much artificial insemination, no matter how much robotics that we make, no matter how much technological advancement that we make, if there's no human being to put all those things into action, a human being created by the union of a man and a woman, then that which is the most natural you can ever get, then humanity is doomed. With yeah. all the robotics, all the knowledge that we have, we can never produce again, and the human race will die out. We'll be extinct. We'll be exterminated by our own actions. So this tension has to be doused. It's gone so far. It's gone on for so long. And we all have to have this conversation. I think mostly the religious people don't really have a problem. But for those of us who are not that religious, those of us who are outside of establishments, as Game of Thrones would say, the free folks, the free people.
Yes.
Yeah. we really have to have this conversation, because we are not mandated by any creed to behave in any particular way. We religious people, a man has to get with a woman has to get with a man and produce the next generation. So for them, it's a sure thing. But for the rest of us, if we don't have any other incentive, if there's no incentive coming from the opposite sex to engage in these sexual relations, you understand? If you don't understand the importance of this relation between a man and a woman, then it's like only the religious people whose population is decreasing day by day. Whose population is decreasing day by day, it's up to them to determine the future of humanity. As for the rest of us, apart from happenstance, apart from random sexual relations, then the humanity is doomed. You understand?
Interesting.
Yes. So as far as this gender issue, sex, prostitution, these topics are very important currently. We need to have this conversation as a species. We really need to have this conversation, because it's like, as I said about female sexuality and femaleness, it's like humanity itself is separating itself from one of its own organs. So as I was saying about female sexuality being cut off from femaleness, human sexuality is also being cut off from humanity or humanness. So it's like something we don't really own. It's something that is not for us. It's just something as if we are coerced into it. We are forced into it. It's a compulsory thing. It's not as if it's something that we are voluntarily getting into.
And it's something that it seems like we all sort of shy away from.
We are shying away from. So yeah. if that becomes the case, it's easy for anybody to also withdraw from it completely. Withdraw from it completely, as the women are showing right now. So if that continues and also men get into that space, then it means that's the end for human sexuality. Human sexuality is gone. Human sexuality is gone. And it goes with the entire species. You said?
Or it evolves into something else, right?
That is just an if. Perhaps we don't really know. That's why from the beginning I said, as far as we know, we are sexual creatures. We reproduce by sexual means. So a man and a woman unite, and then they give birth to the next generation. So unless we are able to reproduce by some other means, if our sexuality goes, everything else goes with it.